challenge to Caesar's authority. As worshippers of one god, Christians could not participate in burning incense to the emperor or treating him in any sense as divine. The result was centuries of sporadic persecution for the church. But something remarkable happened. Even though Christians were an unpopular, persecuted minority, Christianity continued to spread such that in AD 313, the Roman Emperor Constantine issued the Edict of Milan, declaring religious liberty in the empire and thus decriminalizing Christianity. The church had existed for 300 years without state support, surviving and thriving even with the murderous opposition of the Caesars. In the end, this dealt Leviathan a mortal wound, demonstrating that the church was separate from and independent of the state. A king's reach was limited, extending only to the things that were Caesar's, not to the church or to the things that were God's. But what precisely does belong to Caesar? To answer this question, Christian thinkers throughout the millennia have focused on a wide range of issues, most of which were intended to address specific legal, political, or religious questions current to the particular time each was writing. Slaying Leviathan surveys some of the key elements of Christian political thought, specifically those that were ultimately synthesized into a coherent political philosophy by John Locke, who was himself arguing against the spirit of Leviathan in his day. Locke is rightly viewed as an Enlightenment thinker, but the central elements of his political philosophy were adapted from the Christian tradition. And Locke, of course, influenced the American founders, who represent the culmination of the Christian political philosophies surveyed in this book. The American founders intended to put an end to Leviathan by adopting a system based on principles of unalienable rights and limited government. But unfortunately, like the beast rising from the sea in the Apocalypse, Leviathan's mortal wound was healed. Revelation 13:3. Through the decisions of the philosopher kings of the U.S. Supreme Court, the abdication of legislative responsibilities by Congress to the executive branch, and the expansion of the regulatory state, the reach of government has never been larger in American history than it is now. Leviathan's tentacles have wriggled their way into all areas of life, even regulating the conditions under which churches can meet and what they can do in worship. The government we have now would have been unrecognizable to the founders, and our acquiescence to its systematic encroachments on liberty would have infuriated them. But here is the point. It would not surprise them. They were well acquainted with the tendency of governments to turn tyrannical. A popular quote in the 19th century frequently attributed to Jefferson says, "Eternal vigilance is the price we pay for liberty." If we are to maintain our liberty, we must constantly be on guard against the rise of Leviathan. We must play whack-a-mole with it whenever it rears its head. Our cultural complacency in this area has allowed Leviathan to be reborn, leading to the politicization of every area of society as everything becomes subject to the regulatory state. As a church historian, I decided I needed to address this problem because of the actions of an administration that worked to undermine religious liberty, and with it a host of other liberties. I began studying the development of Christian political theology, and I discovered there the sources of our ideas about limited government, unalienable rights, liberty, and resistance to tyranny, as well as resources to help us think through how we are to respond to today's challenges. Examining the long Christian tradition of resisting the totalizing tendencies of government proves to be very relevant to us in view of the deterioration of our liberty. Revisiting our Christian tradition is also the first step we must take as we consider what to do about Leviathan rising. In each of the following chapters, I summarize the development of a different aspect of the Christian political tradition that contributed to the thinking of the American founders and discuss some of the implications of those ideas for today. Through it all, you will learn the story of Christianity's battle against Leviathan, a battle waged in the name of the liberty God granted all humanity in the Garden of Eden. Chapter 1. The Early Church. If you wish to defend